If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out. Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist. And normally Brooke would be here to tell you that she's the attorney, but this is part two of our Love is Blind season 10 Ohio coverage of the first six episodes. So if you have not heard the first part, please pause, stop, and go back and listen to part one. And here is part two. Thanks so much. I'm just saying, I mean, it was very clear. He was number one then, and then a couple hours later, or an hour. I don't know how long these dates are in between. So, you know, how many hours it's been. But basically, she's like, she just tells him that. I was like, okay. Huh.
Yeah. Well, obviously, she's trying to save face and wants, you know, doesn't want to hurt his feelings. But again, yeah. This is all going to come out.
On, yes.
I mean, it is going to be televised.
Yes.
Awkward. But I mean, basically she had to tell him, she had to find some way to tell him that she was, you know, he was it. He was the last man standing.
Yes.
So.
So it's time. It's time to propose. Yeah. Is there anything more? It's like, that's the other part of it too, is you don't see a lot of, because she's kind of split between all these men, you don't see a lot of like what connects her to Mike. It's, I feel like you know, because Mike validated her feelings, because he's very kind, and because he also tells her how he was a premature baby and he had trouble breathing, and so he was this miracle baby. And I think they both are over-indexing that this is some kind of great connection for each other. We're both miracle children, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, and then but he likes to scrapbook, and he made a Love is Blind scrapbook that he wants to fill with pictures.
That's nice.
Mike seems like a nice guy. I don't know. I'm worried about Mike.
I'm worried really about am. Mike. I think he's going to get his heart broken.
Yeah.
But I really hope, I just hope they don't get married with this kid thing still being unresolved.
Yes.
And it's going to be. It's, I mean, she's been struggling with this probably, you know, most of her life.
Yeah.
She's going to figure it out in the next, you know, 3 weeks.
No.
So that's kind of scary that they, yeah, they get married. Like,
All right. So let's talk about Bree, Connor, Chris, Jessica. Because so Bree is breezy and she is just full of life.
She's annoying. She's got too much. She's too much.
She's too much for you.
For me, yeah.
I think she seems very sweet and nice. I think her personality would rub me the wrong way pretty quickly. If she's always like that, she might be quiet sometimes. I don't know. Yeah, I guess she's the one that's a competitive cheerleading. She played softball for Michigan. They both love that song, Mr. Brightside, that I had to actually, I didn't realize they played it on the show, but I'm like, what's Mr. Brightside? I'm so old.
I still don't know.
It's that killer song. Again, these just not our era. Like, these are just
over my head.
They would sing, I guess they sing this song at football games, that kind of thing. So I don't know what else. Connor sells dumpsters. Well, what else is there to say about him?
I just wrote down he was the coach's son or wants to coach. These two were the ones who were talking about how, you know, she wants to coach her daughter's cheerleading and he wants to coach his son's whatever. You know, they want to be like two All-American kids. I don't know. Yeah, but their energy levels, they just don't match, you know, because Bree is so woo, and Connor is just, he's just kind of, yeah, like laid back.
Well, did you hear Connor, like his, what he wants for marriage? And I'm not saying this is bad because this is what I do now, but he's saying, you know, he can't wait to get to the point where it's Sunday and they're not talking to each other. They're eating, they're watching Netflix, they're, you know, and we're sitting side by side, you know,
he's not speaking
and not speaking. I mean, he is looking for someone. I think he's very probably salt of the earth. He's looking for someone like that too, that wants to have kids and, you know, wants to get in the minivan and do all this, but he's not, I don't think Connor is a deep, deep thinker. And I mean this, and not that I don't think he's intelligent, not that I don't think he has thoughts.
No, he's just super easygoing. He's just super chill.
Yeah. And again, I'm one of these deep thinker people. I need to talk to somebody that wants to go really deep with things. So I understand Bree a bit, but this is not who he is. This isn't who he is. And so her attraction to Chris really grossed me out because this guy, Chris, is so, ugh. I did not like him from the moment I saw him. And the way in which he spoke to Bree about their relationship and like how, you know, he's all, his story, Chris's story is all about how, like, I do all the hard shit. I do the things that other people won't do. You know, I get up every day and I do an ice plunge. And I say, if that's the hardest thing I've had today, you know, and all of this stuff, like I run half marathons and I, blah,
he's
blah, blah.
Insufferable.
Did he say that he was in a Black Hawk unit for 9 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone verify that.
Yeah, please. Cause I was like, is that really true?
No, because you know what? his type of personality, he could not be in some elite unit, because in those kind of things, you have to follow, you know, commands, and you mm-hmm. have to have no ego, and you have to just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's has way too much ego to be a part of that, you know?
Well, yeah, I think it's the same, like military stuff is the same as wealth, right? Money talks, wealth whispers. Mm-hmm. Like someone who's in the illegal, who's in some sort of elite team or mm-hmm. SEAL, whatever, they're not bragging.
No.
They're not talking about their stories. They are whispering them. They are, yeah. you know? So I was like, that's weird. I didn't believe that.
Yeah. And he tells her that he feels that he can challenge her every day in a positive way. You know, again, like Chris is this guru. Just follow me. I'm going to show you how to be fabulous like me. Yeah. And he's the one who, remember we said when we were going through the profiles that he was giving us alpha energy. Yeah. He's a cocky little elf.
He is. He is a cocky little elf. But this is what bugged me about that, the whole thing about wanting to be challenged. And Bree's response, which I understand because I think the sense what she was sharing with us is she's the one that's always had to be in control. Like mm-hmm. she's the one that's planning the trip. She's the one, and she wants someone to take care of her. But I'm like, Bree, someone challenging you on that level, that isn't taking care of you. That's not taking care of you. That's saying, I don't like these things. And quite frankly, anyone can disagree with me, but I'm just saying that is not what marriage is. It's not challenging the other person. It is supporting the other person and what they want to do, the challenges that they want to take on, and then helping and supporting them, not being the one of like, you should do this, you should do that, you know what I mean? Like controlling that. You be their coach. You help them grow, but you don't, like, you have to do an ice plunge every morning or you're a loser. I mean, this whole thing of like everyday challenging you, I'm just like,
if someone was barking at me every day to do an ice plunge, I would kill myself. I mean, God, no. So she rejects that life.
Yeah, but she loved it. She thought it was great. I mean, I think there was a part of her because again, she's not, there's something about herself or there's something about the way she lives that she doesn't feel like is enough or good mm-hmm. enough for what it is. And she looks at Chris and someone to come in and tell her what to do and okay, and he'll improve me. It's like, no, you trust me. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. So, and then in the background of all this whole time, he has been dating Jessica, who mm-hmm. is, she's an interesting one. I still can't put my finger on Jessica at all. But their conversations are kind of blah. Like I didn't write down much, you know, I think she's 5 years older than him and he's kind of like, I'm fine with not having kids. Cause I think she's worried. I mean, which I understand. She's worried about her age and whether or not she can have kids. She talks about, you know, COVID and the impact of COVID and how that affected her marriage. And that's really what led to her divorce. But yeah, they both, and then there's this whole thing about like, you know, just realizing the older we get, the more you have to invest in other people. And I love how all of these people will share things that they think that is so, that makes them so groundbreaking. And so like, you know what we should do? We need to think about the other people in our lives and give back.
I know. It's like a bunch of like Tony Robbins. This is nothing new. Like what you think you're all they're just discovering the alchemist and the stoics, you know, for the first time. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's been around for a while. We're aware. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand this union at all because I don't even, all of a sudden they're talking and getting engaged. It's like, what, when did this happen? How did this happen? This seemed to happen out of left field. And she is the opposite of him. She's basically like, I will never do a cold plunge. I will never, run a marathon. I like to eat pizza. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be working out. I mean, what are they going to do together?
I don't know. I mean, I think Chris is attracted to her because she's a doctor. That's my theory. But I think the other one too is, but I think that what Chris won't understand is, yeah, Jessica does hard things all goddamn day. She right. did a lot of hard stuff to become a doctor.
Yeah.
She does hard things all goddamn day. She doesn't need to get into an ice plunge to mm-hmm. prove her worth or to prove her value or to prove that she's alive.
Right.
You know, it's like, and what does Chris do? Is he like, is an account manager, software sales, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, but he was concerned about his height. He didn't come out and say that.
Yeah.
And I also thought too, I'm like, she's tiny. They're like a good match physically. Mm-hmm. But again, this is when I was in my stage of, this all looks great.
Yeah. So when they got to Mexico, I guess they didn't really have any drama there.
Right? Not really. Did I miss something? Mean, the other drama was that, you know, when they all see each other for the first time, Bree is feeling very odd and weird because she had never had a conversation. You know, she and Chris were very close. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed odd to be like, hey, what's up? How are you? And she wanted to have a more in-depth conversation with him. And they do have one. It seems like she, you know, Bree gets what she needs. Mm-hmm. Some kind of recognition or some kind of understanding. I mean, I think Connor, this is a little bit of where Connor's starting to get insecure. Like this is Connor's insecurities are coming up with this. And this is where when I was like, oh, Connor doesn't love Connor. Because really, truly what Bree wanted and that conversation to me felt pretty innocent, like pretty much on the, you know what I mean? She was very honest about like, I'd like to have a conversation with this person, because I want to tell him I love him, but I want to have a resolution.
Some closure. Yeah,
closure. And then they have this very, I feel like very innocent conversation and she gets the closure now, but this seems to be a problem. I mean, listen, it's not Alex and Brittany. Wait until you see that conversation, Connor. You will really be shocked. You will be like, oh, yeah, Brittany's great.
Yeah. Don't worry, Connor. Everything is fine. Now there's one more triangle that didn't make it out of the pod.
Oh my God. Okay. At first when I saw Kevin, cause on, in the,
is
in
it his Kevin photos, or Kayvon? Is it Kayvon? It's spelled Kayvon.
It's spelled Kayvon, but his name's Kevin? But they also call him Kayvon. Sometimes they call him Kayvon. Sometimes they call him Kevin.
I think it's Kayvon.
Okay. So Kayvon. So Kayvon, when I first saw him in the photos, I was like, okay, this guy's kind of, you know, he's kind of dorky. And then at first I was like, oh, he's cuter. But as the episodes went on, I like you, Kayvon, but I really also want to strangle you a little bit. You are exhausting. You are exhausting. And he is another one where you are not ready for this. You should not be here. You can't make a decision, or you don't know what you're looking for. All you respond to what's in front of you. And if someone's being kind and nice to you, you want to be kind and nice back. And I don't know. I found Tyler thinks she's more together than she is.
Yeah.
She's not. Kia, I think, was the most mature and the one that I was like, okay, she's the one that handled it the best.
But I'm surprised that she was even interested in Kayvon because, yeah, she seemed like, you know, just so much more mature and in tune with everything and than he was. I don't even know what the attraction was. It was almost like Kia did this as a challenge because Tyler would come back after her dates and just be all, you know, animated and talking about this and that. And she came up to me as being desperate. Like she just was a lot of desperation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost this feeling of, I think that this is what's helped Tyler be successful in the past, which is I think she has a goal. She goes towards that goal and she does not relent until she gets that thing that she wants, which great promotion, money, you know, in a lot of ways. But when it comes to people and relationships, you can't, it doesn't work like that. And yeah, I think she came in here wanting to connect with someone. I think she connected with him. I think he checked a lot of boxes mm-hmm. that she wanted pretty quickly. And she just latched onto him. And, but the other one too was, you're like, Tyler, she's just like, well, I'll, you know, she's willing to move to where he right. lives. If this is my, I'll give up my career for a family. I'll do this. I'm like, what the, what? What are you saying? Like you're, she basically is telling him, I'm willing to do anything. Right. I'm willing to make any sacrifice because if you are my husband, if you are my man, if you are this, if you are that, I am willing to do all those things for you. And I think this is a mistake that people make, especially women, this idea of I need this ride or die, or this is my man, or this is my woman. It's like, dear God, you know, yes, this is your partner. You're going to be with them, but they are not going to fulfill everything for you. They never will. And nor is that their role or job. And you do not just to, for someone to be committed to someone doesn't mean you have to give up everything that you want.
But I also thought she really was just taking this Love is Blind as a competition show. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it felt like. Like she just wanted to, she wanted to win this guy over. She wanted to get proposed to and, mm-hmm. and get engaged and go to Mexico. Like yeah. she, and it didn't really seem like she, yeah, like it didn't seem like she's madly in love with Kayvon. And then mm-hmm. I think that Kia sort of picked up on this and she was talking to him too. And so she goes back to, and at this point, I believe that Kayvon was about, he was ready to go with Tyler. And I think he was going to ditch Kia.
Yes.
She went in, they had a date and she just took the, she just turned it around. She took like the opposite tactic and she was mm-hmm. very calm and she started talking to him and breaking things down and asking him questions. And she really turned it around and turned mm-hmm. him around. And it's interesting because she's the one who, her mother was incarcerated and, was an addict and, she was raised by her grandma and her mom had recently mm-hmm. passed away. And, you know, she got to know, you know, she drew him in really. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, you know, I want to get to know her and know more about her. And she, and then she kind of wins him over. And then it's like, he doesn't know what to do. He well, loses his mind.
Yeah. The other, what I wrote down was that he is realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think that he responded to her. I agree with you. I think that maybe Kayvon was kind of so-so for her, but I think she kind of was annoyed by Tyler a little bit. And mm-hmm. I think she kind of felt like, you're just going to assume this. And it could have been like day three. Or yeah. something. It could have been early days. We don't know what the time frame is. So she could have, you know, and she, yeah, she really went in there and she was realistic. And what she did was what Tyler doesn't do for him, which is why he's so confused, is that she just kind of let him be. She mm-hmm. let him process. She let him, mm-hmm. you know, and she's, and he says that I find it easier to talk about how I feel with Kia than with Tyler, which is very true because Tyler doesn't want you to have feelings. These feelings are too much for Tyler. This mm-hmm. is getting in the way of her, you know, getting the things that she wants or your feelings or your in, you know, any of that. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kayvon just couldn't.
but instead of saying to Kia, well, I've already made this declaration to Tyler, or I'll be honest with you, I came in here because I was going to end it, but I don't think I want to. And then instead of going back to Tyler and saying, listen, I shouldn't have made some promises. You know, I'm still talking to this other person, blah, blah, blah. But instead he just, it's whomever's in front of him,
mm-hmm.
whomever yeah. is in front of him. And, yeah. And she's, you know, Tyler is a lot in that lounge. I mean, talking about how, like, is this woman his side bitch and his side piece? And
yeah, no, she didn't do herself any favors. She's not here for the right reasons.
No. So
that's for sure.
So then they have that in and out date. So basically, so he has a date with Kia. Things are looking up. Kevin doesn't know what to do. He and Tyler go on a date. They're going to have in and out. Now they sit down and Kevin's like, oh, I can't wait to have in and out. And Tyler's like, where are we at? What's happening? I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know where your head's at, Kevin. You know, I'm very frustrated. And it's like, oh dear God, the guy can't even, you haven't even
let him eat his hamburger. It's already cold, probably.
Yeah. Those fries are probably cold too. It's like, oh my God. You know, she's, and again, this is the thing about Tyler. Tyler cannot tolerate, she cannot tolerate discomfort. She doesn't like that she doesn't know where she stands with him. Mm-hmm. Now, Kia is going through the exact same thing, but Kia is not attached to it the way Tyler is. Mm-hmm. And I just think that shows you a lot about Tyler for all of this, you know, these declarations of knowing who she is and being tough and being driven. She is very impulsive and she has, you know, she cannot tolerate her own feelings. She doesn't know how to regulate her own emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's a big, big thing. Like, you have to be able to regulate your emotions to be an adult, to like function as an adult.
Yeah, a successful adult.
A successful adult. And to have successful relationships is because she's getting mad at him because he is not picking her. Mm-hmm. And I think this is, again, one of her other issues is she wants to be chosen. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the other thing too, is she had an expectation coming in here. I'm going to meet someone. He's going to choose me. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. And now she's in the situation where he's not choosing me. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what spurs her to leave.
Yeah. She leaves and he comes in, he thinks he's having a date with her and she stood him up.
She's very dramatic. She comes back into the pods and she's like, I'm out of here. I'm blah, 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 blah. She's hugging everyone goodbye. They're all crying and, you know, and then she's hugging Kia and saying, oh, he's a good man. He's a good man. And she leaves. And then we see her interview with the producer who I was like, this producer's on it. And basically she's just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to do this. You know, he wants to be, you know, this isn't the kind of man she wants to be with. And the producer's like, well, isn't this your pattern? Haven't you admitted to us that in the past, like when you hit these walls with people, you leave? And I think it all occurs to her.
She did it again.
This is why she's very impulsive. She does not stop and think things like, I'm uncomfortable. I need to deal with it. I'm uncomfortable. I need to fix it. I need to solve it. And, yeah. And so she comes back into the pods and says, redo. And everyone's like, oh, you're back. She goes back in and has a date with Kevin. And, you know, basically kind of, she's a little mad at first, but then she starts to warm up and they quote unquote make up. And is this where they make up and then, is this where he asks to be his girlfriend? I think this might be another date. Because this is so messy. Because he goes back and Tyler's back. And so Tyler thinks they're back to where they were before. Mm-hmm. Kevin thinks, oh, she's going to be part of this experiment again. And then he has this date with Kia. And Kia is, you know, gives him the watch. He gives her a basketball. And... you know, Kia goes back into the women's lounge and she looks happy. So that pisses Tyler off because that's not what she expected. And then Tyler goes right into another date and says, you know, I hate this. You know, I feel like we're sitting ducks. I want to be your, I think this was the most honest she was. I want to be your chosen person. She was finally owning the fact, like, I don't like this. I don't enjoy, like, this isn't working for me. I don't like this. But in the past,
well, other people, have you seen the show before?
Well, Tyler? And that's the thing. And that's the thing is like, there are other people. Last year we had that Asian woman who just left because it became overwhelming for her. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think that there are, I think it's one thing to say, you know, this isn't, I realize I thought this was for me. It's not for me. But with Tyler, it feels like there's all this, and Kevin, Kevon didn't do himself any favors, I will give you that. But there was a lot of anger towards him and his inability to make a decision and barking at him. And it was a little bit like, this is just, he's just kind of doing what this is. So it's just like, Tyler, own the fact that this isn't working for you. Own the fact that you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. She just wanted to come in, get hooked up and get out. And she couldn't deal with the third person. And frankly, neither could Kayvon. He says, I never expected to be in a love triangle. And it's like, again, have you watched this show?
Yes.
This show is primarily love triangles, you know?
Well, but I think that it's unrealistic to think that you would not have feelings for more than one person. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know what the days are.
Yeah.
But, you know, so again, I don't know if we're on day two here. I understand, like, Tyler's saying things to him like, well, it's day five or six. You need to be making a decision. And I can understand if you have to make a decision by a certain day. I understand her frustrations, but even when, you know, he says, I choose you, you're my girl, because Tyler wants to be his girlfriend before they get engaged. I'm like, for 5 hours? Like, this is really what we're talking about here. Again, about her expectations of how she thinks things should go, what she wants, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he gets bullied into saying, you're my girl. And then she takes a break, she pees, she comes back in. And then just within that time frame, he's already kind of like doesn't know what he wants anymore. And he said something to her. I thought this was interesting. He said, I felt very deeply about you. He says it in past tense. And again, this pisses Tyler off, which I'm with her on this one, because he just asked you to be his girlfriend. You thought that the next step was, you know, all these things. And now he's going in circles about what he wants.
Yeah, no, they're both equally bad. You know, the only voice of reason in any of this was Kia. And I don't think she was really that into Kayvon. I think she was just like, well, you know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to like play this out. This Tyler is really annoying me.
Yeah.
And let me go just see what I can do here, because.
No, I think that she also, I mean, yeah, I don't know if she had deep, deep feelings for him, but I think she was very much in this place of, you know, this is a 6-day experiment. This is a 7-day experiment. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to take in the whole experience, and take it day by day. And yeah. And what she did was that she didn't get involved with Tyler, you know, she didn't get into the whole Tyler thing. She took a step back. She just observed. She saw how she took a moment, saw how she felt with Kayvon and seeing sort of how he acts with things. And then she made a decision, which was the smart decision, which was her saying, you're not ready for this. And I'm not going to go down this road with you. So goodbye. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, yeah, that is the mature thing to do.
Yeah. So
Kayvon is just wandering around, has no idea what's going on. No Mexico for him. No Malibu, no Mexico. No. Back to Ohio.
He didn't come off very well. He came off as just being kind of a bumbling idiot.
Yes. Yes. No, he did not. He did not. That whole thing about, like, he feels so bad, like he didn't want to hurt anyone. He's like, I feel so guilty. I don't want to hurt anyone. And what Kia was trying to say to him was, you don't need to own that. Like, we're all adults. We all signed up for this. And I think this was his problem, was that he could not be honest with Tyler. Scared him. And he could not be honest with her about the fact that, like, I do like you, but there's someone else I like. And I don't like the fact that you keep pressuring me. That bothers me.
Yeah. Well, Kayvon is just, I had the word a second ago and I just forgot it, but he's a people pleaser.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And he doesn't like it if he's, you know, someone's upset with him. Mm-hmm. So that's the end of them.
Yeah. God. We'll see them back in Ohio.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, they're going to spend like 20 minutes at the reunion hashing it out with the three of these. And it's like, I don't care. Like, nobody cares about these three. Really? Yeah. I mean,
well, we did spend a lot of time on them and they never made it to Mexico.
I know. So I guess they feel like they have to, but
yeah. I mean, it is, I thought, an interesting dynamic, and it's one that we've seen in different ways, but I don't think we've ever seen where one of the three people is like the voice of reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think that in another season, Kia might've just, that Kevon felt like, okay, I'm going to propose to Kia. Kia would have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing too, that tells you a lot about Kia, which is she cares about herself and her sanity and what she wants more than being on this TV show.
Yeah. She said, I'm in love with myself.
Yeah.
At the end. And then, yeah. And when she broke up with him, she basically said, you're not ready for a relationship.
Yeah. She's not wrong.
So yes, she is correct.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to think of anything. Okay. We already talked about,
did we miss anything from Mexico?
Looking at my notes here.
I want to know how do they figure out what fun excursions people are doing?
Oh.
Because I would be pissed if I was like, some of them are riding bikes over zip lines that through the mountains. Scary. And then I think, was it Devante and Brittany that are playing Frisbee on the beach?
Oh no, that was Jordan and Amber.
Oh, Jordan and Amber. I would be like, we get a Frisbee?
Maybe they didn't want to go on those bikes. That bike thing looks scary. I mean,
it did look a little scary.
Ooh, no.
But what? They don't get a romantic dinner. They don't get, you know, it's just like, okay, we're going to play with this Frisbee
thing. I'm sure they got something. Yeah. And then they kind of, yeah, there was like the, the talking about going back to the sex stuff, but you know, after the first night together, they kind of do this little recap, like who did it, who didn't. And we hear about how, you know, Amber and Jordan had sex with the CPAP machine on at some point. He pulls out his CPAP machine and
yes,
honkers down, and
because that's super hot.
Although his CPAP machine didn't look too, I guess they've evolved. The ones that I remember seeing, like they had like the whole mask over the nose and mouth and everything. That one looked a little less intrusive, but
no, they have perfected them. They are not, because I do remember 20 years ago, it was like you had to, this huge big box thing that you had to wheel around with you with all the cords, and now it's all portable.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was the playing Never Have I Ever.
Oh, yeah. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Well, this overlaps with the stuff we've already talked about. Yeah. Alex is attracted to Brittany.
Never have I ever hit on one of the other people at the resort in the last 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, and another issue, potential issue, is that Alex goes to a new city every couple of months. And he has this nomadic lifestyle. And will Ashley be able to deal with that?
Yeah. Oh, and probably not after she sees these episodes.
No. Another thing that came up with Chris was, so there might be some political differences here. Sort of like another, you know, Ben and Sarah type situation, because, and Jess talks about how, or maybe this, maybe I got this from, I don't know where I got this information, but I don't know, somebody did like a deep dive into who Jessica follows and who Chris follows.
Mm.
And, you know, she follows all this liberal stuff and she's into drag queens, and Chris has all of these, you know, follows all these conservative.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, so, from what we saw.
Yeah. Mr. Blackhawk down.
Mr. Blackhawk down. Elf division. Dun, 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 dun.
Elf
dun.
Elf.
Now, I normally would not make fun of someone like this, but I heard a message that he left. One of his exes is on TikTok.
Let's talk about TikTok.
Because TikTok's been going off. So one of Chris's exes went on TikTok and admits, like, I dated him before the show. And she's like, and I dated him after. Like, she's just like, she did. So that tells you something. Sorry, spoiler alert. And that, what was I going to say? That we then hear she must have recorded their breakup, because she plays the the recording, and he is rude, exactly what you would think, exactly what you would think, rude, dismissive. You know, could not be just like, you know, this is on, it's basically blaming her and you're a loser and I'm great, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He was just rude and mean and like that, you know. So,
yeah, I think I saw a different TikTok from the same person, it sounds like, where, yeah, she's just talking about, you know, she called him a lot of names, like just, you know, like just not a good guy. Well, then why were you dating him and then you dated him again after he went on this show?
Yeah. It doesn't say a lot about you either, girl, but, exactly. No, I'm with you. I mean, but, I also think it's interesting that you recorded it. Do you know what I mean? Like you recorded the breakup. So somehow you,
so you knew there was going to be
like, this guy has been verbally abusive with you in the past and you need some kind of proof. I don't know. Or you knew this was going to go bad and you knew the show was airing and that he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That too.
Interesting.
I don't know. All right. So you want to talk about Steven?
Okay.
And the lawsuit, or do you have more stuff from TikTok?
No, I just, like I said, I saw one from Chris's ex and yeah, she had nothing nice to say about him. So there's that, but you know, take it with a grain of salt. Okay, so this is a real thing that's happening. So Steven, so after Love is Blind, the promotions came out for Love is Blind and we saw who was going to be on the show. A woman in, I don't know what city they're in, I don't know if it's Cincinnati or Cleveland or wherever. She posted a TikTok, which I think has since been taken down, but she basically went through, and you know, this is all about sexual assault. So if, mm-hmm. if you don't want to hear about this, then just a warning. So she posted a video that said that she hooked up with him on a dating site and that he came over to her apartment and she said that he sexually assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I'm not quite sure what more to say about it. I mean, that's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he liked to believe women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this case, there's a lot of gray area, but if that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, there's conflicting views about whether or not there was consent or not, or if I think she felt very pressured.
Mm-hmm.
and did things that maybe she didn't want to do to just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but I mean, I guess that is a form of assault. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, I think, again, it's very gray in terms of consent. Like, you can argue that she did give consent, but I think this is part of this larger conversation of that women, that, you know, at the end of the day, when you're alone with a man, he is always stronger than you. There is always this, I'm sorry, like, you know, this feeling with someone that you don't know completely, like what could happen.
Right.
And, we don't know how he responded to her. We don't know if he was cajoling her. We don't know if he was pressuring her. We don't know exactly what he was saying to her that was making her feel this way. So yes, this is the part that I think is very tricky, is maybe in the letter of the law, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of this broader thing, right, of how women are treated by men or seen by men, or the pressure that's put on us, or the fact that, you know, we get put in these situations, mm-hmm, and it's a little bit like, oh, you either need to sleep with this person or you need to get the fuck out of here. It's got to be one or the other. And I also think for some women, that there's also that part of this process of recognizing after the fact, like, oh, I didn't really want that. And I feel like I said that, or I said that in this way or that way, and they didn't pick up on it. And then I felt, you know, not so much like she's now denying it, but more of recognizing this did not feel completely consensual on every level by both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't know. I don't know how that stands up in court.
Yeah. Because in her TikTok, basically she said that, well, she claims that he asked her if she wanted to give him a blowjob.
Which, you know what, guys? Such a great question. Because women cannot wait.
Yeah, especially when you just met someone like an hour ago. You know, you just can't wait to.
Oh, God. I'm looking at you, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I think what happened was maybe it started out consensual, but then she said that he was. I think maybe she wanted to stop and he was doing that thing, or, you know, pushing her head down, keeping her head down. And I think she talked about the fact that he was recording it on his phone. He's recording the act. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah. And I don't know if he got consent for that. I can't remember what she said about it in the TikTok. But okay, cut to, so he has filed a defamation case against her. I'm looking at a copy of the complaint. This is a civil case. So, you know, he goes into a lot of detail about, you know, they met on Bumble and they had been talking back and forth. And there was several times where, you know, she had asked him to visit her at her apartment, and he didn't come over. And then she asked him, you know, again. And then I'm assuming he can prove this. He's got the receipts because it has an exhibit attached. So maybe this is like screenshots or a transcript or something. So he's got these messages, and, you know, she's saying, hey, hottie, this weekend, you know, try to get together. And so they messaged for a while, and then he eventually went over there, and this is when this all happened. And, you know, he goes through it in a lot of detail, and he does seem to have receipts for these messages. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, he says that it was consensual. He asked her, you know, what she wanted to do, and asked if he could record it. And he, according to him, she said yes. And so, you know, he's basically saying that this is completely untrue. And as a result of it, I guess he was let go from his job. And he worked for, and they go through his whole like work history and stuff, I guess, to show like for damages for like to kind of set up like what he could be making.
Potential
lost wages. Because his last job that he got let go from, he was selling insurance and it was completely commission based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he gives his a history showing that this is, you know, this is devastating mm-hmm. for his, you know, life, obviously. Lost his job. And the interesting thing about defamation is that there is a higher standard that the plaintiff has to prove if the plaintiff is a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
So normally defamation, if it's just two regular people, you know, you'd have to prove it by a preponderance of the evidence. But if it's a public figure, you have to prove that the statement was made with malice. So it's a higher standard. I think he does fit the definition of a public figure because he's not like famous, but he did put himself,
mm-hmm.
voluntarily put himself in the public eye.
Well, and also not like for his profession, but for his romantic relationships. And this is what she's talking about. Like you present, you know, you right. are willing to show everyone your dating life or right. how you feel about relationships, all that. Yeah.
Right. So, and that is something you could argue both ways, I guess. You could argue, yeah, you're really not a public figure, but this is a very detailed complaint. It's like, how many pages? It's dozens of pages.
Wow.
Oh, 35 pages. And let's see, do they have the exhibits on here? Oh yeah, they've got the screenshots. Screenshots from their communication on Bumble. So, you know, she was flirting with him for a while and trying to get him to come over for a while. But that doesn't mean that, you know, once you get there, you can just do whatever.
Does he have it written that she consented to him filming? I just don't know. I mean,
that was just something that happened in the moment, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know many women that would then consent, like say okay to the filming. Like, do you know what I mean? I think that it's about, right, women do these things because you feel like you're in danger. You need it. You know, you got to get out. You know, it's survival and safety. And so you fulfill that. Mm-hmm. And maybe saying yes to the filming is part of that too. But I feel like no woman wants that. Do they? I mean, you don't know where this guy's going to, what right. this guy's going to do with this video. And you don't know who so I find it hard to believe that she said yes to that.
Yeah. Another thing that they highlight in the complaint is that there was never a police report made, which to me, it's kind of like, well, that doesn't mean
year,
anything. What year is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, so right what? Here. Hello, Epstein files.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, people, when you gather everything together and present it, you know, police report, please, please. Well,
this is interesting. One of his exhibits is, so she's, okay, so this looks like Instagram. She must have posted it there too. And when it was still up. So people are asking her questions and then she's answering and she's saying, happened in May 2025. Now here's the thing. This happened after the filming wrapped, but of course, it's almost a year later that it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that they probably won't even take me seriously because I didn't file a police report and people are just going to think I'm lying for attention, which I don't even want. I just wanted to at least share that he's a disgusting human being who can't take no for an answer and likes to film people without their consent.
Mm-hmm. See?
And then,
told you.
Then
I knew she would consent to that.
But then it shows that he liked the message.
Maybe he just saw his name and he's like, yeah, like he didn't even like really look at it.
You're liking, that's weird. But yeah, she posted a lot about this.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they're trying to show that she's like just kind of thirsty.
I don't know. It's so tricky. It's so complicated, right? I mean, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. And then it says video file, these exhibits, the video file to be supplemented. So they'll probably, you know, they're not going to make the video public, obviously. So they'll, the judge can see it or whoever needs to see it can see it. But this is interesting. I mean, this is a very well, well-crafted complaint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't some fly-by-night thing. Let me look at this law firm. Let me see what...
Who did Stephen hire to represent him?
Who did Stephen hire? Not like we'd know who they were, but... it's not on here.
Mm.
It just has the... Doesn't have... Just has the caption and no...
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right, it's a developing story.
It's a developing story, and gosh, this just feels like it's another level,
mm-hmm.
you know, to, it just, yeah. I mean, this is terrible. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I think it's, and again, this is, you know, we, so much of ever, all these things that we're talking about, there are these absolute, like, yes and no parts of it. And then there's all this nuance part.
Yeah, there's a lot of shades
too.
Of gray.
There's lots of shades of gray. Lots of, you know, your and your own perception and your own life experiences are going to make you think about it in a certain way versus someone else. And I can see how anybody can look at this situation, depending on who you are and depending on your life experience, see it very differently in a lot of different ways. I will say that allegedly, from what I heard, that a few other women have come out about Stephen.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there is something about, you know, maybe one woman, but 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, and they all have the same story. It's you know, you've obviously, whatever you're doing, Stephen, it's making women uncomfortable. Like it's not okay. And we have yet to, and no women are coming forward that said, I dated Stephen and that never happened. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, it's sad because I have a feeling that Stephen has no idea what he was doing was wrong. Because I think that's the point we've gotten to in our culture. And God, so who was saying this the other day? Oh, my boyfriend, Scott Galloway, who was talking about, they were talking about the case that's ongoing where, you know, the parents that are suing Meta and, you know, different couple, I forget who else is in it, about, you know, kids being addicted to cell phones and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, he said, imagine, okay, like when we were kids, we had so much, like just downtime when there was nothing to do. We'd come home from school and, you know, for hours, you know, latchkey kids, there's no one home. He said, can you imagine like back then if we would have had access to porn, to, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's how it is. You have these young men who aren't, you know, because of a lot of different things. Let's just put it this way. There's just so much exposure to porn and so much exposure to men of a certain age that they don't know. I really honestly think that a lot of them just have no idea what a normal sexual encounter should be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. What is he, 30-ish? I don't know. I just think it's just sad. It's sad for men and women, you know, these men who, it's just all of it. And then,
Because I think that in, quote unquote, in our day, there was this natural step up level. Do you know what I mean? Of things, which is, you know, maybe finding your dad's Playboys in the closet and then, you know, okay.
That's in our case, our grandfather's Playboys. On the coffee table.
And so then you're looking at naked pictures of women, but they're still pictures and, you know,
and they're not graphic,
but they're not graphic.
And then legs are not spread open.
And then maybe your parents get cable and then you get Cinemax and now you're moved to the next level. Like there is no, this goes from zero to 60. Like it, and anyone who's, if you've ever, you know, access porn knows that like it's not hard to get to. And all you have to do is say you're 18 and boom. It's in your face and it's shocking and, it's shocking and it's graphic even for older people. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's what seems like happened in this case. He's flirting with this woman and, you know, over a period of time and the tension's building and then he gets to her place and immediately the first thing out of the gate, do you want to give me a head? Be like, that's what he's leading with. That's where they're starting from. Okay.
Yeah, because this is how all of the movies have started. He went over to someone's house and then they started blowing him. Like, this is what happened to the pizza boy. It's what happened to me too.
Exactly. And I don't think he's even listening to her. If she's saying, or she's trying to stop or saying she wants to stop, he's not even listening to her. I bet he's never even been on like very many, if at all, proper dates with women, you know, like you said, there's no, he hasn't practiced anything, hasn't practiced like getting a woman to like you first before you ask it, you know, for a blowjob. I mean, it's just, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
So.
I mean, and it's all of this is happening while I think at the same time, because I've had clients that have gone through this who have also in their own journeys and their lives have like went back and looked at relationships differently, looked at experiences differently, looked at, you know, and I've had clients that have like some that just sort of processed it and moved forward, some that actually wrote to the person. And sometimes the reaction is, the person takes accountability and they apologize. And then other times there's a pushback. I mean, you know, I think more men than we realize are getting notes from women about maybe an experience that happened. I'm just saying, I think it happens more than people, than men are really talking about. I am pleasantly surprised when I see how many men are able to take it in and own it. And say, you know, you're absolutely right. Or I, you know, that wasn't, we shouldn't have done that or whatever it is. But yeah, it is this, the porn stuff and all of it, it's all really hard. Porn, the weed, how easy weed is. I mean, it's just, it's all of this stuff is too, it's too easy. It's too easy. I was just listening to, I was just watching this video about Gen X, about Gen Xers and why we are the way we are. Like why people are saying like, we built the internet, but we're never going to show you our breakfast. Do you know what I mean? Like we won't post about our breakfast. Like that we're this very strange little group of people that really very early on learned that if you want something, if you want to get something done, you do it yourself. And that you also, that there are natural consequences, right? Like we almost had to regulate ourselves where it's like, if you come home after school and just watch TV, you're going to have to do your homework later. So if you come home after school and have a snack and watch, you know, and then do your homework, you can watch TV for the rest of the night. Like you kind of learn these are the consequences of this thing. And this is the consequence of that. And this is the consequence of, and just very early on, just kind of like how to handle things, how to kind of navigate everything. Not absolutely everything. We were taken care of by our parents, but I mean, just the fact that I'm pushing back a lot more. I'm constantly amazed by how much Max needs for us to talk to him about what to eat and when to eat it and how to make it and all this other kind of stuff. It's like I would have never. I mean, he's like, oh, I need breakfast. And he's staring at me. And I'm like, okay. You know, you can get your own breakfast. Like, you can figure this out. But I mean, could you imagine saying that to our parents? Like, it's just...
I was making my own lunch. Like, I think starting in maybe fifth grade
Hold on. But mom told me that you started making your own lunch because you didn't like the way she made your lunches.
Okay, well.
And it wasn't... So I just want to say it wasn't thrust upon you. This choice yourself.
Well, no, I'm not saying like it was thrust upon me. I'm just saying I was capable.
You're capable.
I was capable of doing it. So,
well, and you saw a problem. You saw like, I don't like the way this lady's making my lunches.
Right.
I'm gonna do it myself. Look at me go, you know? Yeah. And that's a very, very Gen Xer way of doing things. Ugh, God, but I don't like to talk too much about like, oh, the good quote unquote that it used to be the good old days. Cause I have so many clients that are young and I want them to feel excited about the world and excited about getting older in life. And it's just like, I just try to say it's different. It's just, it's not better or worse. It's just different. It's just, it's just a different thing.
Well, parts that are better, parts that are worse, just like any other time in life. I mean, it's no different.
And I do. And I feel like the average Gen Zer, I think they feel far more supported by their parents and seen and by their parents than maybe, you know, we were. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have that expectation. We just didn't. Like, we also didn't expect a lot from our parents. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you kind of just, stuff happened to you at school and you kind of just dealt with it. You didn't bring it home to them. Plus, they didn't come home for like 3 or 4 hours later. It's over with.
Forgotten about it by that point.
Like, by that point, you've made a snack. You've done this. You've done that. Like, whatever. So yeah,
moved on. That is true. Cause I can remember picking Layla up from school and she'd get in the car and unload on me about all this shit that happened. Yeah. If she'd had, you know, 3 hours to ruminate about it and to, like get something to eat and watch a video, she probably, she wouldn't be as worked up as,
So I think, again, there's good and bad in all of it, but I think that we will look back at this time and be like, this is the wild, wild west. Cause I think 50 years from now, there's going to be so many regulations on, I think hopefully someone will get in here and really start creating some ways to make it a lot harder for people to access porn, to access, to get weed, to get a lot of things. So
yeah, it's already starting. People are really realizing how detrimental phones and stuff are to kids. And it's already starting with banning them in school and everything else. So
yeah. Yeah. All right. We said it all. Okay. So this will either, what are we thinking?
We might, this has been two hours. We might divide it up.
Oh no, we definitely need to divide it. Yeah. It's whether or not we divide it by two or three.
Oh, probably just two.
Just two?
1 hour each. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that. Sounds good.
Yeah. And then we'll be back next week with, I guess they're going to drop what, like 7, 8, 9?
I guess so. I don't know. I didn't look. Because, you know, this is easy breezy. I am just taking it moment by moment. This is where we are now. I am going to see what happens on Wednesday.
Twice.
I know.
That's a lot of hours.
Well, because I didn't take notes the first time around. And then I realized like, oh crap, I need to take notes because that's how it forces me to pay attention. Because I too, like everybody else, I'm like, I get bored and I start looking at my phone and I'm like, oh, wait a second. What just happened? Did I miss something? And then I get bored. And
yeah, especially in the beginning when you're getting all this information thrown at you about all these people. And you're just like,
do I need to know this?
Yeah. Is this important? Are you going to be here tomorrow? Like,
exactly.
Should I be paying attention to you or not?
Yes.
But yeah, from here on out, it gets a lot meatier and it's easier to pay attention. But yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, but the other part of it too is with Love is Blind is there are these like critical moments where you're like, oh, this is good stuff. And you're listening to every word. And then there's the 20 minutes before the reveal and then the 20 minutes after the reveal. And those are the times where I'm like, fast forward, you know, like if I'm watching it again, I'm like, okay, I don't need to see every minute of this. So that's the other thing about Love is Blind is it's very imbalanced. Mm-hmm. It's like you could tighten up these first six episodes and this could be four easily because they spend all this time like talking about, you know, all their feelings about this person that it's about to be revealed. And then it's revealed. And then we talk about all of our feelings while we're in the presence. And then we all each have to talk about what it was like after seeing them. I mean, it's too much.
Yeah. But isn't that the way they get us to bond with these people and care about them? Like, I don't know. We have to spend a certain amount of time listening to them. But
But I think we get bonded with them because of their life stories. I think it's the stories that they tell and how they show up in the pods that we let, you know, we get attached to someone or not. I think, I definitely think you could cut all this down. It doesn't need to be because they're kind of beating a dead horse of these ideas over and over and over again. It's like, okay, got it.
Yeah. I also don't know why did we have to even see Kayvon and Tyler and Kia at all?
Because it was a good little story. I mean, I don't know. It was pretty fascinating to watch. I found it like a very interesting dynamic, and it really spoke to this process. Like, what is your expectation before you walk in the door? And I don't know if they do this or not, but maybe you guys need to hire a therapist/producer to have a conversation with everyone. I mean, isn't this part of the process of asking them, like, what are your expectations? What are you wanting? And if Tyler seems to be a walking red flag of someone who this is not going to work for.
Yeah. Yeah. You're true. I mean, that is true. It does show you, like you said, that the show forces you to, or forces the contestants to kind of sit in discomfort and sit in the unknown and, let it play out. And yeah, Tyler, she couldn't handle that. And she was just kind of trying to control the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of saying it. She was trying to control the situation, which you cannot control people or relationships or love or feelings. You just can't. So that's what Kia has learned. and Kayvon will eventually learn it. Let's hope.
Let's hope.
Yes.
All right.
So, wrap us up, Brooke.
We'll be back next week with the rest of this stuff. And thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy our podcast, we also have a Patreon. You can head over to Psych Legal Pop Podcast on Patreon. We do a weekly bonus episode. You get all these episodes ad-free. And then we have a higher tier where, in addition to all of that, we do a monthly true crime bonus episode, and we do a monthly Ask Us Anything episode. And we are on all the social media platforms. You can check us out, check out our videos, and that's about it.
Yeah. All right.
Easy breezy.
We are easy breezy. Is Love Blind? No.
No.
Are we going to keep watching this show? Yes.
Yes. God damn it. We're going to keep watching it until somebody, you know,
something
actually
happens.
Accepts, you know, that love is not blind.
Like season 50. You know, maybe this isn't working. Maybe this isn't right.
Right.
So anyway.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax day is year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
All right, ladies. When you've done the work, you want your hydration to do the same. Introducing new Gatorade Lower Sugar, now with no artificial flavors, sweeteners, or colors. And 75% less sugar and all the electrolytes of regular Gatorade, now available nationwide.